Great songs. It's amazing what God does in our life. Man, amazing how God works inside of us and changes us and makes us more like Him. It's not something we can do on our own. It's Him in us that does the change, and as long as we let Him do it, He'll do a great thing in our life. Amen? Praise the Lord. And thank the Lord. Well, let's take your Bibles this morning, and let's go to 2 Corinthians and chapter number 12. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 12. How many of you ever had a real burden in your life that really maybe never kind of went away, just kind of always stayed with you? Is there anybody like that, had a burden in your life and just kind of stayed there and it never really went away? Maybe you wanted it to leave, or you prayed and asked the Lord to take it away, but it just never happened, and that burden remained. And I want to speak to you today on the subject of serving the Lord with a burden in your heart. Serving the Lord with a burden in your heart. You know, I think all of us would like to eliminate the burdens of life. And certainly sometimes when a person gets saved, they think that all my burdens are going to disappear. But it's really not true. And the Lord gives us some truth in his word that we want to look at this morning out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So let's begin, please. Verse number 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 6. Notice here the Bible says, the Apostle Paul speaking to the church of Corinth, he says here, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing." Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible today. And God, we need your word this morning. We need the truths of it to penetrate into our heart and our mind this morning. God, I pray today for that one who's got a burden and lives with a burden. Maybe it's been there a long time. Maybe it has no end in sight. And God, I pray today that you'd help us to know what to do with that burden as we try to serve you and live for you in our lives. Thank you for thy word this morning. We know it's the power of God that brings salvation. And Lord, I pray if there's one that does not know heaven as their home, oh God, may today be the day when they trust you by faith and get saved today by the grace of God. So we pray that you would work in our hearts, work in our minds, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. The passage of scripture that I gave you this morning is the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Corinth in regards to himself. Now, he wasn't exalting himself when he was writing this letter, but he was letting them know about this burden that he carried in life. I think we all have burdens. Thank God some burdens come and go. I bought a Ford one time, but I traded it in. Amen? Amen. That burden came, but that burden left. Amen? That's right. Amen. But that's the jovial side of our burdens in life, right? But you know, some people have really hard and serious burdens that they have in life. And they don't go away. And it could be a numerous amount of things. It could be a wayward child. It could be a trouble in life. It could be something from our past that just continues to affect us or influence us. You know, I found that God's people live with burdens. You know, some of the best people I know, the best Christians I know, are people that have some burdens. And they have some things that they live with. You know, I don't think I know anyone in the Bible that served the Lord greater than the Apostle Paul. I mean, when God got a hold of him on the road to Damascus, he got saved. He opened his eyes to God. Boy, I'm telling you what, God did a wonderful thing in his life. By the way, if you're not saved here today and you never trusted Christ, God wants to do that same wonderful thing in your life. He wants to save you and give you a home in heaven if you will let him. The choice is yours. But the Apostle Paul, when he got saved, he then allowed God to use him. He said, God, here am I. He got saved and he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He said, God, you got something for me to do. I'm not on this planet Earth just so I can live for myself and live for money and pleasures and then die one day. That's not why I'm here. Lord, what would you have me to do? That was his prayer. By the way, that ought to be every Christian's prayer. If you're saved here today, God's got a purpose for you in life. You aren't here on this earth just to do nothing. You're here on this earth to serve your God. That's why you're here. God didn't create you, and God didn't allow you to be born into this earth at this time just so we can live for ourselves. There's a purpose in your life. God wants you to serve him. God wants you to please him. Can I tell you what? God doesn't want you to live in a bunch of sin and a bunch of mess. God wants you to put that sin and mess on the altar and get it under the blood of Jesus Christ and live your life clean. Live your life faithful to God, that others can see your life and trust Christ, and they too can go to heaven. That's why we're here. We're not here just so we can have a big bank account or not so we can have a bunch of prestige or a bunch of fame or be known or be... That's not why we're here. We're here because we have a purpose to serve God. And the Apostle Paul realized that. And the Apostle Paul realized that in the middle of him serving God, verse 7, notice in verse 7 it says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. See, God gave him the word of God. The scriptures were inspired by God, and God entrusted the Apostle Paul with a lot of the revelation of scripture so that he could pen it, that we might have it from God. This isn't a book from the Apostle Paul. This is a book from God. And God just used Paul to pen his words, that we might have them and know them. So, but the Apostle Paul said, God was good. God gave me scriptures to give. But notice in the next same breath, he said, there was also was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And notice he said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Do you know what God did? God said, I've given you scripture, I've given you the abundance of revelations. He said, but I've also given you a thorn in your flesh. He said, I'm giving you a burden to live with. I've given you a burden to live with. And as great a Christian as the Apostle Paul was, he prayed to God three times. He said, God, would you take this thing away? Would you take this burden out of my life? And God said, no. Now, the average Christian today, if they prayed that prayer and knew that God said no to their burden, you know what they'd do? They'd shrivel up and have a meltdown. we'd suck on our thumb and we'd say, God, you're not good to me. You know, some people determine the goodness of God by what he gets, what they get from God. Yeah. Some people think if I have a new car and a new home, then God's good. And some people say if my home burns down, then God's bad. Let me tell you something. Whether your home stands or whether it burns, I want you to know God is good. Amen. It doesn't matter our outward circumstances. What matters is that we have a God that cares and knows every need we have. Amen. That's what matters. And he said, I prayed to God three times. And may I tell you what? Some of God's people pray and pray and ask God to take that trouble and take that burden out of my life. Pull it out, God. I can't bear it anymore. Pull it out of my life. Hear me, the Apostle Paul. You're in good company if you've got a burden today, because the Apostle Paul was just like that. A thorn in the flesh. As we were traveling on this trip, we stayed in a motel. And for some reason, the floor on that motel had those goat heads or the cockaburs. I don't know, whatever you call them. But they were pointy little things in the carpet. Have you ever got up in the middle of the night and put your bare foot on a floor and got a cockaburr poking right up through your foot? I did. And it happened twice. Yow! That hurts. And you know what? I was able to take that thing and pull it out of my foot. But let me ask you this. What if I couldn't have pulled that thing out of my foot and it stayed in there? Stayed in there all week. All month. All year. Maybe the rest of my life. And that's what the Apostle Paul was equating his burden to. He said, the Lord gave me a burden. The Lord put something in my life, a thorn in my flesh, something that bothered me, something irritating. Can you relate to that? Can you relate to what he's saying? There's a burden there. There's some problem. There's something in my life that I just can't fix. And I prayed. I've asked God to take it away. But God allowed it to stay there. Now, can I tell you right there, it doesn't mean that God is not good. Amen. And it does not mean that you are evil and bad. That's not why God puts thorns in our flesh. But I want you to see why God, what God did in the life of the Apostle Paul that caused him to understand something. Now look first of all at verse number 7. I want you to notice the first thing is that Paul realizes God uses the burden for his own good. God used the burden for his own good. Notice verse 6. He said, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me." You know why God gave him that flesh? Just so he wouldn't get so proud. He wouldn't think of himself higher than he ought to think. You know, we're filled with a world of people who think pretty high of themselves. Can I tell you something? God describes us in Scripture. And you know what he calls us? Sinners. We're sinful. We're made of flesh. Now that doesn't mean God hates you. God still loves you. But it means that God is describing us as we really are. You know, it's good sometimes just to make sure that God humbles us and keeps us humble. Humility is a wonderful, wonderful characteristic. Have you ever been around somebody who's humble? I like to read about Sam Walton. Sam Walton at one time was the richest man in the world, but he drove an old pickup truck. Wore an old hat. Could have bought anything he had. he wanted, could have done anything, he could have gone anywhere he wanted, but he was a content man driving his old pickup truck. Huh. You know, sometimes we get to thinking ourselves are pretty good. You know, there's a lot of people in this world who will miss heaven because they think more high of themselves than they ought to think. Well, I'm not a sinner. I'm a good person. Don't call me a sinner, preacher. It's not me that calls you a sinner. It's God that does. Don't call me that. Preacher, that's not me. Oh, yes, it is. And God has to humble us. You know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to go to heaven. Do you know that verse is, the eye of a needle is a little door. It was about a 4 or 5 foot tall door where a needle, it's called the eye of the needle, and it was a gate that went into the city of Jerusalem. And camels would go in, but to get in, they had to get on their knees. And they had to crawl on their knees to go through that gate called the eye of a needle. Can I tell you what? There are a lot of people that want to get to heaven, but we don't want to go by getting on our knees. You know, the Apostle Paul said, God, you gave me that thorn in the flesh, and it's really helping me not think higher of myself than I really am. Can I tell you, the sweetest people in the world are humble people. Just people that don't think of themselves too highly. They can come down to our level. And just sweet, wonderful people. Thank God for those kind of people. But I tell you, people like that have had burdens in their life. And those burdens bring us sometimes to a place of humbleness. And you know, humbleness is a place where we can really hear God. Humbleness is a place where we can really focus on what God wants us to do in life. Humility. Paul recognized God gave him a burden for his good. Do you recognize that? Do you realize that your burdens, God takes and uses them and makes you the Christian that he wants you to be through your burden? Maybe you're missing a father or missing a mother. Maybe you're in a broken home. Maybe somebody told you they loved you and yet they left you. Or maybe somebody hurt you very deeply and does not care how deeply you've been hurt. Can I say to you today, somehow, some way, God wants to take the burdens we live with day by day, the thorns in the flesh that'll never come out, those things, those infirmities, those troubles, and he wants to take them and use you and make you what he wants you to be. You know, if you study all the people in the Bible who God used, you see that God, previous to that, brought them through some troubled waters. Right. You know, Daniel is known in the book. Daniel's one of those great Christians in the Bible, in the Old Testament. But did you know Daniel was pulled up from his home, separated from his parents, and had to live in an evil, ungodly country for the rest of his life? But you know what? God used that burden for his good and for others' good. And I'm going to say to you today something. Your burdens are God making you and me what he wants us to be. And we have to let him do that in our life. Do you let God do that? Do you buck and fight? Do you say, God, I don't deserve this? By the way, don't ask God to give you what you deserve. Right? Don't ask God to give you what you deserve, because all of us deserve an eternal hell forever. Because we're sinners. And a holy God cannot look upon sin. The only way he can accept us is when the blood of Christ is washed and cleansed every sin away. But don't ask God to give us what we deserve. See, God uses these burdens for your good. It is making you something. God is putting these things in your life. And maybe these burdens even are self-inflicted. Or maybe they're a burden that you never deserved or can't even figure out how that came into your life. It really doesn't matter how it came into your life. What matters is that you allow God to use that burden in your life to make you a better person for the Lord. You know, when everything's going good and everything's going great, we have a tendency to kind of drift from God. We have this tendency to kind of do it on our own. We don't need to pray. We don't need to hang on to God. Everything's going good in life. But boy, when the troubles start coming and the bills start mounting high and the kids are sick and the dog dies and everything goes wrong in life, it has a way of driving us to our knees and trusting in God. And so the Apostle Paul gets to the place in life where he realizes these thorns are to keep me from thinking I'm above measure. I like what he said in verse number 11, the last three words of verse number 11, or four words. Though I be nothing. Though I be nothing. You said, preacher, you're supposed to pick me up, make me feel good today. Can I tell you what? You will feel good if you realize those burdens have a purpose in your life. And that God is making you a better Christian, a better person than you are because of the burden. And without the burden, you would not be made the way you are and what God wants you to be. Now, that's the first thing I want you to see. Now, notice secondly, he had to learn how to tap into the grace of God for the burden. Now, look what he said. Verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He said, Lord, please take it away from me. Lord, I don't need this anymore. Notice what God said. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, the burden is there so that you can trust in the grace of God. It's there because it is sufficient. Not the elimination of the burden, but the grace of God during the burden is sufficient to us. God said, my grace is enough. All you need is the grace of God in your life. Oh, listen, we could travel through life with burden and trouble and problem and heartache, but let me tell you something. Grace is good. Grace will cover it all. My grace is sufficient for thee. You know, I don't think a lot of Christians really understand that grace is the way we should live our life. The grace of God. Hey, I should not deserve all that God's given me. Dr. Harold Seidler, that old raspy voice preacher, would tell the story of a spider who made a web. And as he curiously watched a spider make a web, he saw the spider do his design and his intricate work. And all of a sudden, a little fly began to buzz around. And he noticed that fly, just one little foot landed on that web. And to get that one foot off, the fly would push off with the other foot and it would get stuck. And before long, that little fly was hopelessly trapped in the sticky web of the spider. And he fought and he struggled and he tried to get away and he couldn't. And here came the spider and he began to come to that little fly and he began to wrap him up. Little by little, he'd wrap up that. And he got almost to, and that live fly is still struggling, but it only made it worse. Came along and wrapped him up. And just as soon as the life was to go out of him, Dr. Seidler said, I couldn't stand it anymore. He said, I took a little tool and I pulled the spider web off of that little fly, and I took the fly. I pulled him out of that sticky web, and I pulled him out. He said, and I let him go free. And can I tell you, that's exactly what God did for you and me. We were wound up and wrapped up, hopeless, helpless, and the more we struggled. But the grace of God came along to free us from our sin. The grace of God came to give us hope and help in this life. The grace of God is there. Let it prevail in your life in the middle of your burden. Amen. That's why you have these burdens. So that you can tap. We wouldn't know God as well if we didn't have a burden. We wouldn't know him like we do, and we wouldn't know him at all had we not had any burdens. Right. You know, the saddest person in this world today is really somebody who doesn't have a burden, because they've never really experienced the grace of God in life. God said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is enough. I don't know what problem you're going through, but I know grace is there for it. Grace of God is sufficient. You see, Paul had to trust in that grace. He had to allow that grace to come into his heart and his life and fill his heart with the grace of God through it all. Can you smile through that trial? Is there still a peace that exists? Or does that burden control your mind? Oh, let me tell you something. The Apostle Paul said, I'm going to keep serving God. I'm going to keep loving. I'm going to keep traveling and reaching people for the cause of Christ. He said, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep on going even though I got this burden. And he said, how am I going to do it? I'll tell you how he's going to do it. He's going to do it with the grace of God. The grace of God. It's sufficient for you. You said, but you don't understand my need. But you don't understand the grace of God. The grace of God is all you need. See, Paul realized if he just tapped into the grace, it would change him. And notice verse 9, he said this, most gladly, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. He said, I began to thank God for my infirmity. I began to quit asking God to take it away and say, God, I found that your grace is okay. It's sufficient. It'll get me through. It'll carry me through. And he said, when I did that, he said, most gladly, most gladly. I'm saying to you this morning, grace is the answer for your burden. Doesn't matter what it is the answer. But can I say thirdly this morning, Paul realized that joy could come because of the burden. Notice what he said here. Verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. You know, God works through your weaknesses sometimes. When you go to God and you say, God, I'm weak, he says, well, that's pretty good because I'm strong. Amen. God, I can't handle this burden. We express our weakness to God, and God says, you know what? I can handle these burdens. Don't forget, Jesus was the one who took all of our burdens. He was the one who experienced every problem that we go through in life. You know, he was touched with our infirmities. He's that one. And so he said here, I can have joy in my heart. You know, joy in heart is not the absence of trouble. Joy is the presence of God. That is joy. That is joy. And by the way, don't forget, we're talking to about a man here who was beaten 3 times. A man who was in a shipwreck and he spent a day and a night out in the middle of the ocean. We're talking about a man who would go into the city and they would hate him and stone him and cast him out of the city. But he just kept on serving God with joy. And I want to say something to you. You can too. You can too. You say, oh, wait a minute, preacher. I can maybe handle my burden, but I don't know about having joy in it. Well, I want to tell you something. When you realize, as Paul did, that his distresses were for Christ's sake, then the distresses and the problems that we go through are only going to account for God's sake in our life. That's what they're for. He said, God, your trouble, my troubles, and my trials only bring me the joy that I need. You know, it's a good thing to recognize sometimes that you're not very strong. I found this. When people put on strength, they're really not strong.
Yeah.
You ever seen a dog who's acting like he's mean, but the tail is still wagging in back? The dog bristles their hair. You know, all you got to do is give the dog a little bit of meat, and you know what? That dog turns to putty. You know, sometimes our problems look mean and troubling and ferocious, but hear me, God takes those problems and can turn them into joy in our life. They don't have to be intimidating. It can be God working through the burden. So there's hope in the burden. You know, there's always hope in Christ. But when a person doesn't have Christ in their heart, how can they tap into his grace? When you're not saved, there's no way you can go to God. But I want to tell you something. God works on the inside of man. And when you get saved, he comes inside. Amen. He comes inside. He washes every sin away that ever you've done and makes you his child. And God wants to treat his children really well. So God's trying to teach us to get to the place where you thank God for the burden, because God's using the burden in your life to make what he wants you to be. We played for the prelude this morning, a song. We prayed that song. What was that prelude song? Somebody give me the name. It is well. You know, when that song was wrote, that song was written by a man named H.G. Spafford. H.G. Spafford was to get on a ship, and he and his family were to go overseas, but he had, at the last minute, gotten struck by some business he had to attend, but he sent his family ahead of him. And on the way over, the ship sunk, and his wife and his two daughters were gone. And a message was sent to him, if I remember right, a message was sent to him telling him about his wife and his children were gone. But you see, when he got on that ship and he went across, he crossed that ocean. He came to the spot right where his wife and his daughters on that cold ocean, where they died. And he wrote a song because of it. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. He wrote that song in the midst of his burden and the midst of his heartache. And can I tell you what? There's a song that God wants to put in your heart and in your life in the midst of your burden, that your burden can return glory to God and be something that you do not despise, but that's something you end up thanking God in the end for what he did through that burden. Let's trust God. Let's trust God. Let's bow.